The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, I want to officially welcome our podcast audience. Thank you for joining us today, our YouTube audience, and of course, Facebook as well. I want to be dealing with the subject of wounded in the house of my friends. Wounded in the house of my friends. Today, I want to home in on a specific group of individuals that may be listening or watching. Again, this is a devotional word today, so it's going to be a little bit different. We're not dealing with a particular subject or a topic or a news headline today. We're going to home in. This is more of a word of encouragement. I want to pray for a specific people group today that may be watching or listening this, and you've been wounded in the house of God. That's what we're going to go with today. That phrase, wounded in the house of my friends, is found in Zechariah 13, 6 through 7. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want to say right off the top of the bat that I'm perfectly aware that this verse is dealing with, most scholars will agree that this alludes to the Messiah. So keep that in mind when I read this, but I want to home this in on a practical level. Again, I want to home this in. I'm going to use the scripture, and I want to try to help some folks here on a practical level. And one shall say to him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Again, I want to read this again. This is Zechariah 13, 6. I said 7, but we'll just stop at 6 there. And one shall say to him, what are those wounds in thy hands? Again, the primary interpretation of this, most scholars will believe that this is alluding to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. He was wounded. Those wounds in his hands could refer to the crucifixion where he was crucified. But notice he says, these are the wounds in which I was inflicted in the house of my friends. I find it interesting that I find a lot of wounded sheep. Having done this for 20 years, even before we started our ministry in 2010, I met a lot of church folks. I come across a lot of people, even outside of the church, and I call it the marketplace, in places of employment, whether somewhere I worked or even in a grocery store, or just individuals I would speak to that was... that when you got to know them, they once had a really strong relationship with God, but then I discovered that they no longer go into the house of God, they no longer read their Bible, they're no longer active in the church, and they're no longer have a prayer life, and they're just kind of strayed away. They've kind of drifted from God himself. And a lot of these individuals, when I begin to sit down with them and ask them, what caused the rift, or what caused you to fall away from the house of God or turn away from it. And a lot of these individuals will, if they're honest, they will open up and say, it wasn't because of unbelief, or it wasn't because they were persecuted by unbelievers, or they lost some friends that they used to hang around with, or they weren't able to do the things that they used to do. Many of them, listen, a lot of them didn't turn away because of that. But a lot of them, they begin to open up and say, everything was good. I had a strong relationship with the Lord. But then someone in the church, whether it be a member of the church, whether in a lot of them, it was an individual in whom they looked up to, whether it be a deacon, a pastor, a shepherd, an apostle, a prophet, or someone of maturity, or someone with influence or leadership over them. That individual either wounded them on a personal level, or they fell into some kind of moral failure. They backslid. They fell into an affair. They committed adultery. They abandoned the church. They got caught stealing from the church, or whatever the case may be, embezzlement. And because of that, it caused these individuals there was a wound that was inflicted to the sheep, and it caused them to stray from the house of God. So the reason why I picked this topic today, because I'm seeing a lot of this in the body of Christ, even when I read headlines today, I've read, and I'm not going to drop names here because there's no point in dropping names, because if you are, if you're very kept up with the news, especially Christian news, and that's predominantly audience here is going to be Christians, you will know, I won't have to fill in the blanks on a lot of these individuals and who they are, but we've had everything from scandals of individuals who have committed adultery, who are, these are presidents over universities, major sex scandals. Some of these has forced major evangelists to go into long sabbaticals. They've been restricted from pulpit ministry. They've had to set out, or and the list goes on. I mean, this has been going on for years, all the way back to Jimmy Swaggart days, to Jim Baker days, and we could go on and on and on, but we don't really need to elaborate on that. But I'm seeing this pick up more and more and more as we're getting closer and closer to the time of the end, or as we get closer to this time frame of what we call the end days, or the time of the end, or the end of the age. I believe it's going to increase. I don't think it's going to dissipate any slower, or it's not going to slow down, but I believe it's going to intensify and grow as we get closer to the revealing of the Son of Man. But I'm talking about wounded by leaders from failures, their faults, their sins, and their weaknesses. Now, sure, someone in the church, you know, that may not be a leader can do something, say something, whatever the case may be, and that can wound us. Don't get me wrong. That can hurt us, and it can cause a rift in our faith, or a hurt in our faith, or whatever the case may be, and we can become offended. Remember, Jesus, one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is offense. He said, many shall be offended in the last days. But today, I specifically want to home in on leadership. And I wrote some stuff down here when I was taking notes. I remember a pastor friend of mine, a dear friend of mine back in Indiana. One time we had this discussion about this very topic, and we began to talk about pastors and how many times we'll get to know, you know, we'll get into a church, we'll get plugged into a church, and we'll get to know a pastor. And then we get to know them on a more intimate level. Now, I don't mean relational-wise, sexual-wise. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, there's a New Testament Greek word called koinonia, meaning fellowship, to the point where you really get to know these individuals. You get to know their weaknesses. You get to know their faults. You get to know their goods and their bads. You get to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about them. Now, some people say, I would love to have a pastor that I am so familiar with, or such a relationship with, that I know all about their life. I can sit down with them. I can be real to them. Well, you say that, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's the problem I found in a lot of individuals. If you are not mature enough in your walk with the Lord, then what will happen is you will put, listen to me carefully, you will put a shepherd, a pastor, on a pedestal. You will put them in such high regard that if they don't meet your expectations, in other words, maybe the Holy Spirit deals with you about movies or watching certain programs or doing certain things. The Holy Spirit deals with each individual. You know, the Bible talks about there's sins that are black and white, but then there's things that the Holy Spirit leads us on an individual basis where we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. What am I talking about? There's things that you can watch that I can't watch, and there's probably things that I can watch that you can't watch. And it's based on the level of grace and calling that each of us have on an individual basis. I hope that makes sense to you. Again, there's things that you and I will differ in, and what the Holy Spirit deals with this in, based on the grace that He's given you and I to fulfill the calling on our lives. Even in the Old Testament, there was things that there was the high priest, the Levites, and the common people, and there was a distinction between all three. There was things that the common people could do, but the high priest couldn't do, and there was things that the high priest could not do. they were on it. They were met. They were put on a higher level of accountability in their life. So what I'm saying is, many times we will get plugged into a church, or we'll get plugged into a body of believers, and we. Well, and this, again, this is based on a conversation I had with a pastor friend of mine, because he had to walk this out himself, because he got really close to his pastor and he began to see some faults and weaknesses in him. And he began to realize one day that he was having trouble receiving from him like he once did. And it wasn't that the man was committing adultery. He wasn't blaspheming the Lord. He was faithful to his family, faithful to his wife. He wasn't in embezzlement. But there was things that my pastor friend, that the Holy Spirit was dealing with him on a personal level, that he couldn't do, but his pastor was doing him. And it was more of a personal maturity level. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him one day and said, Do you want a friend, or do you want a prophet in your life? Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not saying the pastor was a prophet, but what I'm saying is, we're going to have to decide, do we want a friend, or do we want a man of God or woman of God, whatever the case would be, that can speak into our life and we can receive from them? And I know that this is sounding confusing to some people, but you got to hear me out. What I'm saying is, if you are a new babe in Christ, this is going to be hard for you to consume. As you mature in the Lord, one of the things that the Lord's going to deal with you on is he's going to begin to reveal to you that it's okay to put your confidence in men, but you better put your trust in God. Let me say that again. It's okay to put your confidence in men, but you better put your trust in God. Many years ago, about, I'd say roughly around 20 years ago, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I got plugged into a small country church in Kentucky. I got plugged in, went headlong in, got involved in the church, got close to the pastor, got close to his friends. We became very close. And then one day, the pastor called my wife and I into, now you got to remember, I was a babe in Christ. I was less than a year old. I was probably maybe a year old, 9 months, somewhere 12 months in the Lord. That's it, a babe in Christ. He calls me into his office in tears and says, please sit down. I have something I need to confess to the both of you. Well, of course, the countenance of my face changed. I was shocked because I kind of knew what was coming. And I didn't really want to accept that. But he began to confess to us that he fell into, I don't believe you can fall into adultery. I'm sorry, but you don't fall into adultery. It is a process. And I don't have time to get into that. It'd take me 15 minutes to elaborate on that. All sin is a process. Go to the book of James chapter 1. There's a look, there's a move, and then it becomes a stronghold. So there's, you know, you don't just fall into sin. It is, every man is drawn away when he's tempted by his own lust and enticed, and it starts in seed form, and then it grows and produces death. Read that in James chapter 1 in your own time. But nevertheless, he had confessed to us that he had committed adultery with an individual in the church. Well, of course, here I am. I'm a babe in Christ. Of course it wounded me. Of course it hurt me. I'm in tears. My wife's in tears, because this is a man that not only was my pastor, but I looked up to him. He was my mentor. He was a spiritual father to me. And I couldn't believe that a pastor of all people could fall into something like it, or could do something like that. Boy, did I have a lesson to learn. I had to learn a lesson, and did I ever have to learn a lesson? And from that day forward, the Lord began to teach me about having confidence in men, but putting your trust in God. See, because as we mature in the Lord and we put our trust in God, we'll know that men will fail us. Come on, men will lie, men will falter, men will fail. But the problem is many people in the body of Christ put people on pedestals. They put this prophet up on this pedestal. They put this prophecy teacher up on this pedestal. Listen, I just want to say that if any of y'all out there, listen, I love you guys and I love your support. But if you've got me on a pedestal, you better take me off the pedestal, because there's only one man that needs to be on the throne, and that's Jesus Christ. Because, come on, the son, he is the Son of Man. He cannot lie, nor can he repent. He is the Son of God. That's the one you need to put your confidence, put your trust in, put your hope in. Again, it's all right to put confidence in men. I have there is people right now that I have confidence and know that they're going to get the job done if I need them or whatever the case may be. But my trust, don't get me wrong, my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. So remember in the Bible, it talks about, I want to explain to you where we saw this in the New Testament. The Bible talks about when Jesus, remember when Jesus was in the courtyard and Judas showed up and to take Jesus. And as a result of this, Peter fled, the disciples fled. And the scripture talks about the shepherd was struck and the sheep scattered. So this is what happened. I want to show you something. So I want to help somebody today. Maybe you're watching this broadcast or listening to this podcast, and maybe you've been directly involved in a church hurt. You've been wounded in the house of your friends. Maybe your pastor has somehow let you down. Something's happened, and you have just kind of festered this hurt and these wounds, and you ain't even stepped foot back in the church. You don't want anything to do with the church in itself, whatever the case may be. If that's you today, I want to help you today. Because here's the thing. Here's what I want to show you. As we mature in the Lord, we begin to recognize and look back on things. See, I can tell you 20 years later, I can look back on that incident, and I can think, I'm not thanking the Lord that the pastor that I had fell into adultery, but I thank the Lord that he allowed me to go through that process of maturity, because now I can look back at that and draw strength from that, because now today, if this happens, and it has, even from that point on, it's happened multiple times where leaders that I've looked up to, spiritual fathers, mentors, they have fallen, things have happened, whatever the case may be, and I'm still moving forward. I'm still serving the Lord. I'm still in prayer, still in the Word, still doing the work of the Lord. Why? Because I have confidence in these men, but even if they shall fall, my trust is ultimately in the Lord. So today, again, I know I told you I didn't want to take a lot of your time. If you're watching this broadcast today by Facebook Live, by podcast, if you're listening, or by YouTube, and you say, Brother Ricky, I'm one of those sheep that has been wounded in the house of my friends. I didn't get wounded at work. I didn't get wounded in my family. I got hurt in the very house of God, the place that I thought I could be safe. But I got hurt by a pastor. I got hurt by a deacon. I got hurt by somebody on the prayer team, the altar team, somebody that was in my Bible study, my cell group, someone on the pew with me, a brother, a sister, someone I looked up to, someone I broke bread with. My friends, not only can I relate to you, but the Lord can relate to you. The very one who dipped his hand in the bowl betrayed him, Judas Iscariot. But Jesus didn't stop. He didn't quit the ministry. He moved forward and he pressed in and he finished that which the Father had invested in him and appointed for him. So I want to tell you today, I want you to shake off those wounds, shake off those hurts. Yes, I know it hurts. I know it's painful, but my friend, it is time that you get rooted and grounded in the Word and know that people are going to fail you. We are but flesh, but God can never let you down. He's still in the house of God. He's still on the throne. He still loves you. He still has a purpose for you. He still called you. He, come on, he who's began a good work in you is faithful to see to it that you finish it and bring it to completion. So I want to pray for you right now as we close this broadcast. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice today that's watching or listening today to this broadcast. I pray for their wounds. I pray for their hearts. If they've been wounded and afflicted in the house of God and the house of their friends by a shepherd, by a pastor, or some point of some type of leader or some ministry, I pray that, Father, you would reach down your sovereign hand, begin to heal their heart, heal these wounds, and mend them, strengthen them, equip them, encourage them, and get them back in the race. And, Father, I pray for every individual that's let them down. I pray that you bring two more individuals and put them in their path that will strengthen them, that will help them, equip them as iron sharpens iron. So a man's countenance, a friend's countenance, sharpens his countenance of his friend. And I pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, we want to share with you again, if you've not yet become familiar with our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. That's where you can subscribe to us. You're going to find all these podcasts, YouTubes, all these things will be in that digest every single day. There's a couple ways you can follow us. You can do that, or of course you can go to the app at End Time Headlines. Just go to the Apple Store, go to the Google Play Store, and type in End Time Headlines. You can go there, just type that in. You're gonna find our app, download it, it's absolutely free. Everything's gonna be in your hands. The news and headlines, the podcast will be there. The YouTube channel is going to be there. Everything will be at your hands. So we want to invite you to do that. Again, it's absolutely free to download, and it's available on Apple and Google Play. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry of a gift of any amount. If this ministry has blessed you, encouraged you, informed you, or equipped you on a continual basis, or all of it, and you would like to give back to the ministry, you would like to help us remain strong. Again, everything we do is free. We don't charge you anything. All we do is ask that you, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you would do that. And you could do that by going to the main website, again, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can go to the app, go down all the way to the bottom and to the very right. You're going to see a place where it says donate. You click on that button. It's going to take you to an electronic page where you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order to the address that you see on your screen. Those who are watching at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's our physical mailing address for those who wish to give by check or money order. If you're listening by podcast, again, go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. That's where you're going to see our website. There's a place up at the top that says donate. Other places you can see there's going to be an icon you click on to support, and that's going to take you and go through all that as well. So, guys, we're going to close out for today. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll take tomorrow off. We'll be back on here on Thursday, and I'm going to talk about Elon Musk. This guy is crazy. He's inventive, innovative. He's one of the richest men out there. He's already surpassed some of these billionaires out there. And he made a major announcement today. We put this on our main website, End Time Headlines. He made a major announcement. I'm going to talk about that Thursday, why we need to be paying attention to that on Thursday. I may be talking about these disasters. We're kind of keeping our eye on this hurricane or hurricanes. And all these, California just made history again. We're going to be talking about all this. So we got that on Thursday, and then we're going to pray and hopefully be back in here on Friday. We'll be discussing probably whatever other topics come up and surface up as well through the week. So don't miss it. Again, this is why we tell you to subscribe to End Time Headlines so you can keep up with these things. So God bless you guys. Until we see you on Thursday. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you, and may his favor be with you in Jesus' name. God bless.